Welcome back to Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series from In Good Faith at BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of the In Good Faith podcast, and we're reading through Adam Miller's 2013 collection of epistolary essays, Letters to a Young Mormon, with Sam Payne as the voice of the narrator. And now here's letter 5, titled Scripture.
Dear S, get close to the Scriptures. Do anything you can. God is in there. Moses told his people to put bits of Scripture in little boxes, and when praying, to tie one box to their arm and the other to their head. Strap the Bible to your forehead. Wear the Book of Mormon on your sleeve. Sleep with your Scriptures under your pillow. Tape Pharisees to your bathroom mirror. Underline everything. Pack your margins with notes. Read Paul out loud like poetry. Copy the Book of Mormon by hand. Read the Bible backwards, one verse at a time. Tally their letters like numbers. Squeeze their verses like oranges. Know Isaiah by heart. Love Matthew like a brother. Sing the Psalms as your prayers. Read them in Hebrew, read them in Greek, read them in Russian and Spanish and Japanese. Translate them all into English and then back again. Do like the Lord told Ezekiel, Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Ezekiel 3:3, NIV. Don't just read the Scriptures. Eat them. Get them not only into your head, but down into your gut. The Restoration restored Scripture. God showed himself to Joseph Smith first as flesh and bone, and then as ink on paper. When he appeared in the sacred grove, Jesus quoted Scripture. When he appeared in Joseph's bedroom, Moroni quoted Scripture. And then sent Joseph to unearth more. Joseph translated the Book of Mormon, and then he retranslated the Bible, and then he revealed the Book of Abraham. Then Joseph went back and started again. He never stopped working on his translation of the Bible. Joseph always expected more revelations, and translation was one vital name for the hard work of receiving them. For Joseph, translation was less a chore to be done than a way, day by day, of holding life open for God's Word. Translating Scripture is a way of renewing life. In translation, we lend our lives, our minds, our ears, our mouths to the local resurrection of old texts, dead words, and lost voices. We put down our stories and take up theirs. And as we give voice to them, they, for a time, rejoin us in the land of the living. Joseph produced, as God required, the first public translations of the Scriptures we now share. But that work, open-ended all along, is unfinished. Now the task is ours. When you read the Scriptures, don't just lay your eyes like stones on the pages. Roll up your sleeves and translate them again. Every morning and every night, we are each commanded to sit down at our kitchen tables, spread out our books and notes and papers and pens, and with a prayer in hand, finish what Joseph started. It is not enough for Nephi to have translated Isaiah into Reformed Egyptian, or for Joseph to have translated Nephi into King James English. You and I must translate these books again, word by word, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. God wants the whole thing translated once more. And this time, he wants it translated into your native tongue, inflected by your native concerns, and written in your native flesh. To be a Mormon is to do once more on your own small scale the same kind of work that Joseph did. To succeed, you'll have to pray always. You'll have to study it out in your mind. You'll have to listen to the beating of your heart. You'll have to consult the best books. You'll have to take careful notes. And then you'll have to bring all these raw ingredients to bear on how God wants you to retranslate the next verse you'll read. Led by Word and Spirit, you'll be empowered to do it. When you're done, you must ask the Lord if, for you, at this time, at this place, you've done it right. You'll know you've done it right if, as a result of the work, you repent. Say nothing but repentance unto this generation, the Lord told Oliver Cowdery when he came to help Joseph translate the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants 6:9. This is your charge, too. Translate nothing but repentance. When you're reading them right, the Scriptures will bring you up short. They'll call you into question. They'll challenge your stories and deflate your pretensions. They'll show you how you've been wrong, and they'll show you how to make things right. You'll need faith to undertake these translations as acts of repentance. You'll have to trust that the books can withstand your scrutiny, and you'll have to trust that God, despite their antiquity, can be contemporary in them. The Lord counseled Joseph that, as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study and also by faith. Doctrine and Covenants 88:118. This is good, though circuitous, advice. On one hand, if you lack faith, seek wisdom out of the best books. On the other hand, if you lack wisdom, seek learning by faith. Your ability to translate with power will depend on your faith, and it will be amplified by your familiarity with the world's best books. The wider you read in Lao Tzu, Shakespeare, Austin, Dogen, Plato, Dante, Krishna, Sappho, Goethe, Confucius, Tolstoy, and Homer, the better off you'll be. The more familiar you are with Israelite histories, Near Eastern archaeologies, and secular biblical scholarship, the richer your translations will be rendered. Don't be afraid for Scripture, and don't be afraid of these other books. Claim it all as your own. Doubtless the world's best books have their flaws, but this just means that they too must be translated. You'll need to translate them so that they can contribute to your own translations. As long as these other books help you to translate repentance, then you're still doing it right. Don't balk at this responsibility or hand it off to church leaders. Our minds go dark and our hearts go cold when we set this work aside. Your minds in times past have been darkened, the Lord told Joseph, because of unbelief and because you have treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. Doctrine and Covenants 84:54-55. Our minds go dark because we've treated this responsibility lightly. We don't sit down with the Scriptures, and we don't study them out in our minds. And to our discredit, we've often dismissed the world's best books rather than translate them. As a result, we'll remain under this condemnation until we repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants 84:57. The Book of Mormon is this new covenant. It is itself what God promises you. It is given to you as a Urim and Thummim, as your own personal seer stone. Look into it and learn how to see the world by its light. And as you do, you'll be shown not only how to say, but to do what the Lord requires. Love, A.
Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series podcast, is produced by Heather Bigley. Our editor is Josh Orton. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. The text for this limited series is taken from the second edition of the book, published in 2018 by Deseret Book. Adam S. Miller retains the copyright. This podcast is a production of BYU Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry. If interfaith understanding is important to you, tune into our sister podcast, In Good Faith, committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Find In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.